Good morning, everybody. It's the 15th, halfway through the month, the 15th of September 2020. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks so much for being with us today. We have a nice show for you today. It's the we're going to talk about the American College Applications Campaign. That hashtag is Why Apply, W-H-Y. Okay, we've got the director of the American College Application Campaign, which is part of ACT's Center for Equity and Learning. That's Lisa King. And Lisa's going to join us in just a second, talk about how the campaign developed, where it is today, what you need to know, and why it's so important to get first-generation kids, all right, into college, all right? Also low-income families. It's really an interesting thing. It's part of ACT's continuing effort on equity, and we love to highlight that here. So again, it's the American College Application Campaign, and it's at ACE. It's at equityandlearning.act.org, and then you go /ACAC, but we'll give you that again as we go. I always find it, it's a lot easier just to Google, okay, the American College Application Campaign. You'll learn all about it, but we'll talk all about that. Okay, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. Like we always do, we link in over at Larry Jacobs, and on Facebook, it's my name, Larry Jacobs, or Education Talk Radio, if you want to follow us or friend us, whatever the case may be. But we really invite you to go over to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our other website. All right, it's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We initialize it for the website, ace-ed.org. Our brand new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access, is over there. It's a wonderful issue. You're going to love it. You can join our consortium, which is free for pre-K-12 educators to get involved more and more about equity. We present a lot of information over there, et cetera, et cetera. We'd love to have you join with us. The magazine is there for everybody. Please go over. You don't have to join, but we hope you do. ace-ed.org. And so without further ado, let me bring on Ms. Lisa here. Lisa King, good morning. It's Larry, Lisa.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you?
Nice to hear you. Oh, I'm doing well today.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Are you in Michigan today?
I am. Yep, I'm in Michigan. I'm in East Lansing, where Michigan State University is home to.
Obviously a graduate of Michigan State, am I correct?
Almost. I'm finishing up a graduate degree there, actually, my master's program.
Oh, great. Super. In what, if we may ask?
Yeah, online strategic communication. So getting to learn how to help communicate our work better in the changing online world of how things have evolved from when I did my undergrad.
Wow, more important than ever these days. I'll tell you, communicate. I mean this sincerely, not just because you say it, because I said it yesterday on our show. Communications is the key these days. That's the key.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah,
and I hope the graduate school recognizes that, how important it is, not only in education, but everything. It's really key stuff. Congratulations, Lise. When will you be done with that master's?
May of next year in 2021. We had a little bit of a COVID hiccup that I had to delay for the semester, but we will finish.
Like everybody else, and of course, Michigan State's
yeah,
a great school, but it would have been a lot less expensive had you called me. You could have gone to the University of Larry, but say love me, what can I tell you? All right, it would have been less expensive for you, okay? Anyway, Lisa, you're with us today, and we appreciate that, and we love ACT, and we'll go over everything with you. You are now the director, congratulations, of the American College Application Campaign. And let me just put that into perspective for everybody. It's for first-generation students, or first-generation college students, okay, from the family, or students from low-income families who apply to college, all right? And we want those kids to apply, and it's hard to do because they don't have somebody guiding them. It's really up to the schools to help them. And, Lise, just why don't you talk about this, ask you the generic question. When did this all come about, the campaign, and you give it a better definition than I do.
Yeah. Oh, sure. We actually started as back in 2005 as a college application day at one high school in North Carolina, and it just slowly grew, and we're now national since 2014. We're in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. And we've had just over 7,600 high schools that participated in 2019.
Wow.
And what it is what you said, where it's a program that's meant to be low cost or no cost to the high schools to help enhance their college going culture by supporting specifically the college application process of how we can break down those steps of making sure every student in their graduating class does an application. And that focus,
wow,
like you said, is really on our first generation college going students and the students from low income families and those who are typically, you know, systemically underserved and need that added layer of support to make sure that they begin and complete the application process.
You know, and I can't say enough, and, you know, we deal with equity here all the time with our magazine, our website, our consortium, we call the American Consortium for Equity in Education, as I mentioned, at ace-ed.org. We have our magazine. This equity thing and accessibility to learning, it's so important. And you know, I remember, because I was the first generation in my family to go to college, and I remember – and this I'm talking about 5 million years ago, okay? Yeah, Pharaoh was against it. That's how long ago it was. All right. But I remember, and I'm a fairly intelligent person, but I remember being bewildered by it, okay? And not really understanding and not even really knowing how to read the college application handbook and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it can be overwhelming, et cetera. What does the program consist of? I mean, you know, and people have to understand this because everybody, the parents, although they love their kids, okay, have no experience with this. Okay, lower income people may not have experience with this. That's a combination maybe of lower income and first generation. All right. It's a very difficult thing. And, you know, what does the program consist of?
Yeah, that's a great question because it is. There's so many barriers that our students face with the application process alone, not just the entire navigation of college, but just even the application process. It doesn't look the same from college to college. You know, questions might be similar, but it can be intimidating if you don't have that right person to ask. So we really break that down. So our events, now before COVID, the events were in the school building school day. So we had a captive audience and it would be maybe in an English class or in a senior seminar course, or we made sure every student in that room on a certain day did an application. And they work with them really over the course of a month to make sure they're researching the right fit for them and narrowing down a college list and deciding, okay, you've made your list of the 1, 2, 3, however many applications you're going to do. And then there's a certain day that they know we're going to come in and apply. And I have all my materials that I need to know of a fee waiver, or a form to pay if I can afford to pay for it, you know, what answers I need to put in for essays. So we spend that month really leading up to the application event itself, preparing our students. And so our national campaign provides resources to the states and those who are hosting the events to help them navigate that path of determining their list and filling out the actual application itself. And then it's really at the high school level, though, and our amazing counselors who are often the ones right there doing the work of guiding
the students through
those events. Yeah, we couldn't do this without our school counselors. They're key. They're the experts in this. And they will often recruit volunteers to come in when it's an event. Now, with COVID, with this year, some schools are all virtual or hybrid. So what we're expecting to see is a lot more more one-on-one support that'll take a little bit longer. It won't be a day. It might be a week that they're checking in with every senior and guiding them through that process. So
that's
it might be hopefully more intentional. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I've said this a lot. This is all going to work out, okay? We got to test the waters and see how it does with the hybrid learning, with the remote learning. But we're going to figure it out. Nobody's going to be left high and dry, okay? Just give everybody a chance to do that. Nothing's going to. We're only in the second or third week of school. Maybe some schools maybe 5 weeks in, okay? So they've got a little advantage down south if they started in August, but. You know, we're going to get that all together. You said something that struck me, and maybe I heard you wrong. Did you say this is done in English class?
Sometimes, yeah. We let the schools decide, and if every senior is taking an English course, they often will work with the English teacher to say, let's carve out maybe every Friday I come in for 4 weeks. So it's really a collaborative process in the school. It's not, you know, just pulling students out and coming down to the counselor room for an hour. It's truly meant to be part of that culture in the building and showing that we're all supporting the seniors. The underclassmen get to see them doing this process and celebrate it. Some of our schools who've been doing this for years have pep rallies or things where they bring in past students who graduated who are in college right now to talk about their experience. So they really make a big atmosphere And a lot of the schools we're talking to are planning virtual events in that same way, where they're going to have a panel of students talking. I'll be doing one for Iowa, actually, on Friday, where it's bringing together college students and myself to talk to the senior class.
You'll talk to the whole senior class at Iowa High School?
Yeah, there's on a Zoom meeting, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Will there be kids from that particular school who you're bringing in? I mean, the audience is, but how about your guests, those kids who went to our college?
Yeah, they recruited some alumni from that high school who are in college currently who can talk to them about their experiences so far, and I'll be there talking about the larger movement and, you know, why this is an important step in their lives, and getting them excited and rallied for the steps that they're about to take this next month or two.
Yeah, and please make sure they know they can do this. And I have to ask you, and this was, I think you may have said this, but with most college applications, okay, there is an application fee, all right? And I'm curious how that fits into all this. And I'll show my age. When I applied for school, okay, the application fee was $10. Okay, and I remember my father almost dropped dead when I asked him for a $10 bill, okay, so I could apply to college. And I know it's far more expensive than that now. How does that fit into all this, the fees?
Yeah,
that's
a great
question.
Again,
we're talking about low income. Some of these kids are lower income, okay, and that whatever that fee is, I'll say it's $100 now, whatever it is, $25. Mm-hmm. How much is the college fee right now, an application fee?
It can range. Some of them are 25, some are 100, but we do also, there are still schools that don't have a fee at all. Often the community colleges don't have an application fee. So we, part of our process is communicating that information of, we work with our state. So we have a state coordinator everywhere who's doing this. So they might break down what's happening in Florida for all of our institutions, which ones never have a fee, which ones have a fee, but accept fee waivers. And then we talk the students through that, that fee waiver process. So there's many ways they can get a fee waiver. ACT offers a fee waiver.
Uh-huh.
Our friends at College Board offer a fee waiver, and our friends at NACAC do as well. And so the nice thing about our campaign is that we're test neutral and pathway neutral. So we're there to say, here are all these options for fee waivers and how to get access to it, so that the student knows that they qualify, and then they can request that fee waiver with their counselor and then use it and send it to the college with their application. And then oftentimes, too, even if they don't qualify for a fee waiver, the counselor can still write a letter to the college to say, you know, I think that this student should be considered, and here are the reasons why. So we try to help the students know, speak up, ask questions. There's probably a way to help you if the cost is truly prohibitive, that we want to help them get there and not let that be a barrier stopping them from doing the application.
I wish you could see me right now. I got a big smile on my face. That's great. That's great. I didn't even know there was a fee waiver possibility, so I just learned something really cool. Okay, and that's great for kids who really need it. And that, man, this is just, how does it, how, it's hashtag why apply on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, if people just Google American College Application Campaign, it's ACAC, American College Application Campaign, they'll find out all about it over at the ACT website. It's really a nice and a very well-explained, okay, website for everyone, okay? And I think it's just so amazing what you guys are doing over there. Like, I just find this so important. How does a high school get in touch with you, like the Iowa High School as an example?
Yeah.
Okay, how does a school get in touch with you and find out about the program and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. So if you head to the website, like you said, there's a big bright orange button that says host site registration, and that's the first easy step to get their name to me. I'm the one that gets it, and I will connect you with your state coordinator so that you can be officially signed up and get access to our national resources. Each state has things that are unique to maybe their state college process and what they might need to know through their state resources. And we'll get you all set up. And we'd love to have, if you're, you know, a counselor that's listening right now, or if you're connected to a school district, you know, we'd want you to register and help show your commitment to helping support seniors through the college application process.
You know, and I can't say enough, I'll say it again, since you brought it up about school counselors. Okay, there's far too few of them. Okay, we know that there is a shortage.
Yeah.
They work with so many kids. They're so darn important. And I just hope every school district realizes that. And they're more important now than ever. okay? And teachers really want to help their kids, but guidance counselors are just a little better at it. They're more well-trained in that kind of regard, and I just hope every school district understands we need counselors now more than ever. Yeah. You spoke to this, okay, but how has the – Let me ask a different question. Over the years that you've been involved with ACAC, okay, has the number of applications gone up? Are more kids getting into see the need for higher ed? What's happening in that regard?
We are, from our campaign, from tracking it, every year we've seen an increase of the number of students applying and applications. Now, students tend to do about like a 1 to 2 average of applications, but it's also even increasing over the years that we've helped them get that support that they need.
Yeah, it's just so darn important. And the pandemic this year, how's that changing things?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you mentioned you're going to do a virtual thing. Okay, we're not flying around and doing live programs and all that. I get that, but how else has it affected all this? Because I don't want kids to lose track of their future because of the pandemic. Okay, that maybe that's the point I want to get across here. Go ahead.
Yep. And that is what we're seeing. We're seeing students questioning maybe what they thought 6 months ago that they wanted as their college path could be changed. And it may be circumstantial of, you know, what's happening in their own families, finances, if they need to stay closer to home. So we're definitely seeing those shifts. We're seeing reports from students that they're deciding on colleges that are closer to home. And we want to make sure they still find the right fit for them. And we want students to realize through this process that there is still a good fit for them. And that it's okay if their plans change, that they can still be supported through this program, and that we will find that right fit and path for their educational goals, even though, you know, life looks a little bit different than we all expected 6 months ago. But that education is still key. We want to keep them on that larger educational journey.
That's the key.
To find that path.
That is without question the key. And, you know, people are in economic, not thank God the people I know, but a lot of people out there are in serious economic straits because of COVID. Mm-hmm. People have lost their jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, that affects family finances, which affects can I afford college and all that. The colleges are stepping up a bit. But it's interesting that you've seen people are applying now closer to home and all that, saves fees on living away, et cetera, et cetera. These are really interesting times. Mm-hmm. Okay, and everything's kind of changing. But one thing hasn't changed, all right? I want you to speak about this. College is great, all right? And, I want my kid to go to college and all that sort of thing. That's just obvious. You want your kid to be more well-educated, et cetera, or you, the person, the kid, wants to be more well-educated. But there are other factors that matter about going to college, and not only will you become more learned, okay, but there's economic factors, and you know, talk to me, do the sales pitch. Why? What teachers should be telling students about going to college? How does that impact their lives through their whole life?
Oh yes, when we look at the data, those who have a higher level of college education, you see that they just have a longer, a healthy lifestyle. They tend to be more civically engaged. We have higher voting rates. I mean, it's everything. Yep, it's not just the money, right? The money's there too of getting, you know, a higher paying job. But you have everything in your life is better. It all improves for the quality of life that you have and what you're able to provide for, you know, any future family that you may have as well. But yeah, I mean, this is about creating stronger communities for our future, for, you know, where we end up raising our families and growing, that you're really strengthening a community when you see that higher level of education. And the Georgetown Center for Education and Workforce has been putting out some really interesting information showing what's happened just through COVID of who's lost jobs and who's retained their jobs through this. And you see it, you know, dramatically in those 6 months of whether you have less than a high school diploma all the way up through the, you know, a 4-year college degree, those who are faring okay through these last 6 months.
What you're saying, and I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. Those who are less well-trained, okay, and I don't mean that as a derogatory, I mean it just as a factual thing, okay, will be more apt to lose their positions during an economic crisis like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, it's hard.
College-educated
skills that can
people
be as transferable, and
Well, it's just it's absolutely fascinating out there, and you know, what are the high schools? I'm curious, as you talk to high schools, what are they saying are the challenges with getting kids to do all this, to participate? Do kids, you know, they're working in English class, et cetera. Is that everybody? What do kids say about this, about the need for it, et cetera? I'm curious about that.
Yeah. So often, you know, if a student is not ready to apply to college, a lot of it's you look really back at their life story and that they've maybe been told in many ways, whether directly or not, that they're not college material and that college isn't for them. So then they start to believe it. And when it comes to this point in senior year, they're like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not for me. And when you start to really peel away the layers and be like, why do they think that? It's because they didn't have the right tools and the right motivating factors to help them realize there is a path for them. And one thing I didn't say that I should have said early on, that when we say college at ACAC, we mean any education beyond that high school diploma of getting certificate,
exactly.
2-year, 4-year.
Exactly.
We want to find that right fit for that student's needs. But, you know, they need to know what options are available to them and not be limited and told that they have to go on a certain track.
And I'll tell you something, and I've learned this over the past year. And this happens especially with lower income kids, okay? We don't make their curriculum rigorous enough, okay? And this is K-12. And we don't do that because we think it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy, okay, that they're not going to do as well with the rigorous curriculum, so we dumb it down a little bit. The fact of the matter is 95-99% of these kids will rise to the occasion of being challenged. And when they say, and this is painful, when they say they're not college material, that's doo-doo, okay? Doo-doo, okay? They don't know if they're college material. Of course, they've never been challenged like they would be, all right? And the colleges understand that some of these kids come in less prepared than others, and the colleges have to be ready to step up to the plate to help these kids. But we can't have a self-fulfilling prophecy. You teach kids with rigor from kindergarten on through 12th grade, these kids will rise to the occasion, they will do better, and they will understand that they are, in fact, higher educational material, okay? And like you said, when we have to use the word college, okay? Frankly, it's harder to be an auto mechanic these days than it is to be a surgeon, okay? Being a surgeon is easier than it ever was, okay? Try to fix up a car, okay? It's unbelievable with all the computer doodads in there, okay? And I'm not kidding, okay? And but these occupations need training, all right? And these kids cannot sell themselves short, and the schools can't sell themselves short. Here I go on my soapbox on all this, okay? And that's why it's so important that schools really get involved almost from minute one and really get involved at the end, okay, in the getting these kids ready for higher education and the college applications process, okay, because that can be frightening. I just can't do this. I don't know what it's like. Yeah, you take a kid from the inner city, and you've seen this, and I've talked to people at Michigan State, as a matter of fact, okay, kids from the inner city, like from Flint, okay, and Detroit, who wind up going to Michigan State, and they feel like fish out of water because they've never seen such a pristine, beautiful place and been challenged like that before, and it scares them, all right? But they can do it, and I've talked to the people who have done it. You certainly met people who do it, and if we can, as K-12ers, get involved in rigorous work and help these kids all along, then check out, keep doing the ACAC stuff. Do you work with kids that are in middle school? I'm sorry, I went off of my soapbox there. It's just a rant I love to do. Okay, but that's honest to God the way I feel about it. And, you know, we're talking, when you say college applications, we're talking about kids in 11th and 12th grade, all right? But really, they need to understand this earlier. Are you involved in the kids earlier than this, than say the actual years when they're throwing in the applications?
Yeah, so the support in our different state campaign levels looks a little different, but some of our state campaigns have deep programs developed where they're doing middle school activities and elementary school activities at the same time. So it might be that there's a week is college, the college going week, and so your elementary and middle schools are doing activities just to look at career exploration and to understand what the full education spectrum is, while the seniors are, you know, in their space doing the actual application process. So we're seeing that as the program has grown over the, you know, since 2005, where they're getting deeper into how do we start to connect the dots and show this whole culture in our district, in our community, and get engaged. And one way we also bring in that I want to make sure to bring up is our Why Apply Day. So that's this Friday, September 18th. It's meant to be a social media day to motivate students and inspire them for the application process. So it's super easy, super fun. And it's, you know, what you've just said, Larry, where it's a chance for us to show students what college can look like, and people like us who can say, hey, I went to college, I did it, here's my story and why you should apply too. And they can see the faces and see the stories and know that college can look like them, that college is meant for them. And so we just ask everybody to get online and share that message. We've got a printout you can use that says Why Apply, where you write your message. If you don't have a printer, there's a digital version. You can just slap it on there and put a photo up. Making it as easy as possible, but let's use this Friday as a great day to kick off application season, and they are college material.
This Friday, November. This Friday, September 18th. Okay, I know it's September. Okay, and it's now they can follow that at hashtag Why Apply, right? Hashtag Why Apply. All right, and I said the easiest way to do this to everybody follow is just Google American College Applications Campaign. Is that the easiest way?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll find us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It pops right up. American College Applications Campaign. Okay. You've been doing this for what? 4 years now, Lise. You've been involved with this. First, you were the campaign's senior communications specialist. Now you're the director. Congratulations on that. Okay. Lovely promotion. You're great at your job. What's your favorite story out of all this? Your favorite anecdotal story?
Oh, goodness. Oh, well, gosh, I actually used to be the state campaign coordinator in Michigan. Way back in 2011. So that's kind of when my world of ACAC started, where I got to get involved with that. I think my favorite really is Why Apply Day. I love seeing the photos and seeing people share their stories. It always gets me really just motivated. September can be a hard month with school starting. Everything's always just, and this year especially, you know, everything can feel so uncertain. And I'm really excited for Friday because I get that reminder of, you know, why we're all doing this, and, you know, that we can help our students get there. It's such an uplifting day.
It's got to be an uplifting day, and you must sleep well at night because you're really doing a good thing, Lisa. ACT is doing a really good thing. This is all through ACT's Center on Equity in Learning. All right, and it's the American College Applications Campaign. Lisa King, sleep well every night. You deserve it.
Thank you, Larry.
And I'm sorry, is there football this year up at Michigan State? I don't know. They're playing, aren't they?
I think it is completely canceled right now. I know. Well, this weekend my husband was watching the Lions play, and I was like, "It's football," but I realized they didn't have an audience other than TV.
I think they lost. Didn't they lose? Did the Lions lose this week? Yeah, they did lose. Well,
they could have lost their lead.
he's used to that.
So, we have three boys, and they were like, "Our team lost." And my husband and I said, "This is typical. It's okay."
I'm used to that. The Lions have always had a struggle. Okay, so we'll see. I don't know why, but they always did. Okay, so good luck. I wish the Lions good luck this year. Okay, how's that? All right, and have a great day, Why Apply Day on September 18th. Hashtag Why Apply. Thank you, Lisa. You have a good one today. Okay, stay safe out there, by the way. Stay safe, please, and your family, too. Thank you.
And I want to see your smiling Why Apply face.
absolutely. Hashtag Why Apply, everybody. Thank you. Thanks, Lise.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Lisa King, everybody, who's director of the American College Application Campaign. Just Google that through ACT's Center for Equity in Learning. Okay, it's a national initiative. Every high school in the country should be involved with this. This is great for first-generation students and students from low-income families. Okay, please, this is so important, and it's important to ACT. Okay, this equity thing, they're one of the companies out there to which equity is not a buzzword. Okay, that's why we love them so much. Okay, they really work towards equity. Okay, they're doing everything they can. So check it all out. Equity, ACT's Center for Equity and Learning, and this in particular, the American College Application Campaign. Okay, we'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Please go over to ACE-ED.org, see our magazine. You'll love the back-to-school issue. Join our consortium if you want. It's all about equity. I'm Larry Jacobs.